All right, great to have you back with us live here from Chase Field, being assisted by Beer Can today, and glad to be here getting ready to watch the Giants and the Diamondbacks. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Marty.
Well, Joey Chestnut apparently has defended his title. 63 hot dogs and buns at Coney Island Nathan's today. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I love Joey Chespain. He's my favorite competitor. I think he really fell about 100 dogs short, though, for my money. He's a minor leaguer.
It's great. You know, it's one of those contests. It's July 4th, and, you know, we could talk about it. You watch it on TV for about 20 seconds, and then you got to look away.
Well, I didn't even turn it on. I can't even start. It's the most ludicrous thing I've ever seen. I think I'm stuffing myself when I go for three, you know?
Pretty good. All right, that's July 4th for us. Some baseball news, Bruce. Yes, and we've talked about this on the show. Frankie Montas, and they pulled him from the game yesterday. His velocity was down, maybe some soreness here and there. And we said trade him 3 weeks ago. God forbid something happens to him, and here Montas had to come out of the game. How about that?
Yeah, I'm surprised he lasted this long. I mean, why are they waiting? You know, it's apparent that he's going to go at some point. They're the worst team in baseball. I mean, in any way you cut it, certainly right there in the top three worst teams. I mean, it's an awful thing, but it's also an inevitable thing, and he should have been, you know, in that group. Maybe not to trade it as early as some of the guys, but you know you gotta move this thing with dispatch, and now he's, you know, so-called maybe damaged goods. His value is certainly way down, and I feel for Kotze and the baseball operations people. They don't want to strip the club of everybody, you know, and it's nice to run a good pitcher out there, but you know Manaea left, and this guy should have been with him.
Yeah, and now he's got to get back on the mound and establish himself again. And, of course, the trade deadline's a little bit later this year. I think it's the 2nd of August or something like that. So, I agree. And we talked about this on the show, that he should have been moved 3 weeks ago just so this kind of stuff wouldn't happen. And here we go. Mm-hmm. So that's a little baseball news. The Giants brought up David Villar today from Sacramento. Bruce, he's been crushing the ball in Sacramento. 21 homers. He's got an OPS of over 1,000. He's a big kid, and he's a first, third baseman, but they'll probably have him at second base today because they need it. But he is someone. Maybe give him a little shot in the arm, so they're bringing him up.
Yeah, 21 homers in 66 games. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I think he's 25. He's not, you know, he's still a prospect, obviously, but he's not terribly young by prospect standard, out of University of South Florida, I think, and we'll see. I mean, to me, they need a shakeup. If he can field, he could be a real blessing. And at second base, he might be in a position where he might not hurt him as say Walton has hurt him at short.
No, well, 11th round, 2018. He's from the University of South Florida, so we'll see. But Professor Ron Wotus has been on the show talking about him. God, this goes back to the beginning of the PCL season. And he's been impressed with him, and the kid plays hard. So maybe that's what they need. Let's talk a little bit about the Giants right now. Bruce, of course, they got swept yesterday and just blasted 13-1, really, until they got the back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back doubles in the ninth inning. But, boy, this is some concern now, the way they're playing.
Well, it's just a terrible game to watch. They're just incomprehensibly dull right now. John Shea had a kind of a depressing tweet saying that 61 minutes went by before they put a ball in play.
Right, I saw that.
Anything, even a dribbler back to the mound. I mean, Giolito was fabulous, make no mistake about that. But, you know, that kind of tells you where they're going. They couldn't do anything with him. He was really good. I mean, he's got a changeup you can't believe, and he's been coming for a long time. He's already done a lot of great stuff. So for him to have a great outing is no shock, but they didn't do anything at all. And it was a bullpen game, and who knows what's going to happen. I really wasn't that impressed with Jelly. I mean, there were a lot of hard-hit balls, a lot of balls put right down Broadway for guys, four or five guys hit the ball really hard, and he just doesn't strike me as being terribly commanding or intimidating out there, even with his size. I don't think he's a scary at bat for anyone. And you know, it's just one of those days where I think Kapler mentioned the energy level was low, and it looked that way. It's not something that's lost forever, and you know, a couple of good games can do an awful lot. You know, get on a plane, go to Arizona, maybe ideally clean up a little bit with some wins on the road. But, you know, first of all, they got to beat Bumgarner, which will be interesting. And but I think, you know, Rodon's probably going to – I think Rodon wins that game. But they just – they need – I think new blood really helps. I think the Villar move is good, and I hope there are more coming.
Well, we'll see. You know, it is a concern to me, and it made me realize how good they were defensively.
Yeah.
With, you know, when Belt is playing, look, Belt is hobbled now. There's no question about it. He's having trouble moving around. Crawford's out, and believe me, he's coming back Tuesday. he's healed up. They've seen enough of Donnie Walton. Crawford will be back on Tuesday. And the second base thing is no picnic either. LaStella can't get out there, and Flores, if they put him there, it's trouble.
Yeah.
And Longoria still is, you know, a good glove, but it makes me think back to Panic and Crawford and Belt in their heyday and how good they were.
Well, oh my goodness, all the way across the diamond, and then you got Posey catching. I mean, they were so tight in the infield. It's just fantastic. That goes so far. I mean, that carries you through, you know, spells where maybe you're not hitting or maybe you lose, you know, three out of five, but you know, you pick up the ball, and next thing you know, it just makes such a difference. I heard Ron Darling on the Mets broadcast yesterday talking about. I kind of got in the middle of the sentence, but he was talking about a kid that they brought up a few years ago. They didn't know about his hitting, but they brought him up, and he made several just spectacular defensive plays in big situations. And he goes, that can turn a ball club around because it's spectacular. It's great baseball. It's not It doesn't have to be a three-run homer.
Yeah, I want to take this up just a little bit with you and what Kapler said over the weekend. And, you know, he's talking about low energy and, you know, to put it in actual normal talk, maybe the effort isn't there. Well, if the effort isn't there, you better motivate them. And this is more than communicating after the game and saying how you feel or making your teammates feel better. This is still a game that's played between the lines, and it's a very tough game played by men, essentially. And, you know, sometimes you got to be disciplined as a team, and they're not disciplined right now. And the manager's got to take some responsibility for that and say, look, I don't care how you feel. And I don't care. I don't want you to make Brandon Belt feel better. You better make a play. And I think the team needs a little bit of that. And last thing I'll say on it, Art Howe told me this years ago about team meetings. And this team probably needs a team meeting with that kind of language. He said, if you're going to call a team meeting, you better call one before a game you're going to win. So,
exactly.
So I'd be calling one today with Rodon against Bum. Bum's pitch better here, but Rodon, as you say, should do things. So what do you think about what I said about Kapler?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd sure hate to think that collectively the Giants are losing faith in Kapler and the staff and the way that coaching is going in general. That would be a bummer because it is still, you know, it's kind of revolutionary and very different and very modern age, and heaven knows it worked to almost literally perfection last year, but this is a new year and nobody's remembering that. You know, when it comes to motivation, I'm always surprised. My first reaction is, how could you not be just 100% motivated to go out and play linebacker or shooting guard or center field in the big leagues, the highest level? You shouldn't need anybody to talk you into it, but that's just not the case all around. They are men, and a lot of them treat it as a job, just like you and I would, or a computer analyst or a plumber or anybody else. It's a job, and if it's not going well, you get a little down, you don't bring energy to work, and that's when the manager has to step in. So, but, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, like there was a great special on the 86 Mets. That's a long time ago, but it's a timeless thing. None of those guys needed any talk to get motivated. They were crazy. They were madmen when they took the field. And they were, you know, the Giants, the Will Clark, Matt Williams, Kevin Mitchell Giants were like that. And, you know, Roger Craig had a lot to do with turning that around. But it just depresses me to think that a professional athlete would need some kind of motivational speech to get him to be aggressive and go out there. But that is the case with a lot of players. You don't want it to be predominant in the locker room, and then you have a problem.
Well, you need leadership. And thinking back, look, they won 107 games last year, which is incredible. But Belt had a career year. Crawford had a career year. Posey had maybe one of his best years, and he's gone. Kevin Gausman had a tremendous year. Longoria, till he got hurt, was crushing the ball to right center field. These are the veterans. These are the leaders who get on the field and do it, and they could talk it up in the clubhouse as well. They don't have that this year, and I think that's one of the issues. The guys who they counted on are not having big years, and I think this is part of the issue that the rest of them really haven't been down this road before of adversity. And this is the first time for Yastrzemski and folks like that. And they've got to really understand from the leaders as to how to play baseball again.
Yeah, and I don't think really you could expect any of that to happen again. I wouldn't expect Belt or Crawford to have the years that they had. Gausman's gone. Posey's gone. Longoria is, you know, not a young guy. I wouldn't expect another set of career years from the guys who are still here. I think at some point you have to expect not a complete drop-off, but you know, that's a lot to expect to have in the tank. It's a shame they don't have Gausman. I see he got hurt, I think, yesterday, but he's been tremendous. They've got Webb and Rodon. It's not a disaster, but yeah, I just there's a point where, as much as the veterans contributed last year, part of the new year is you just can't count on that those set of people coming back in that manner.
No, and they did, and that's okay. You know, sometimes you roll the dice and it works, and sometimes it doesn't. Last year it worked perfectly, but you have to adjust if it doesn't work, and you've got to think that bringing Villar up today, and we'll see where he hits in the lineup. But he's, you know, 25. He's never been in the big leagues, so you can't expect too much out of him. But it's just this point of, let's communicate better. Let's support our teammates, and there's low energy. I don't know. I can't hear Bruce Bochy saying that kind of stuff. So I think it's time he's got to stand up and throw the spread over, so to speak, and let these guys know the baseball they're seeing is not acceptable. I agree with you on Jelly, by the way. Jelly is a guy without a big out pitch, and he's a strike thrower. And if you're a strike thrower, they're ready to hit it. But he does throw strikes and doesn't walk people, so that was good.
Yeah, you know, we'll see where it goes. We haven't seen enough of him, but just the initial, he looks like a comfortable at-bat to me, even though he's 6'11". He doesn't come straight over the top, which would be kind of frightening, but he's got a bit of a slinger. And, you know, the pitch, all of his sinkers look like fastballs to me. They're 94 miles an hour, and they registered as a sinker. Did he even throw a fastball? I mean, in essence, he did, and a lot of them came right down the pipe.
Well, unfortunately for Sam Long, he did a good job of long relief yesterday, no pun intended, of course, but he did come in with the bases loaded, and he unloaded the bases. And Peterson's had some trouble digging the ball out in left field.
Yeah.
So that's somewhat of a concern. So they got to play better. That's the bottom line. And they get now 19 games with Arizona the second half. They've still got Colorado in there. And you know, the West is still there for them to be a major factor, which they're capable of doing. But they've got to get motivated a little bit and play a little bit harder baseball with a little more. If you want to call it energy, let them call it energy. But I want to see better baseball, especially defensively.
Yeah, it's been downright sloppy. It's very, very hard to watch. And, you know, it's because their plays are coming at the worst possible time too often. But, you know, a couple wins can do a lot for you.
Yeah.
You know, especially in an exciting manner. If Villar would happen to do something, or, you know, Wade hits a rocket in the late innings, or anything like that, a walk-off. You know, they won't be walking off on the road. But, you know, just nothing exciting is happening at all.
You got to take charge of the game, and this is the time to do it. And they're in the perfect spot, Bruce. This Arizona team does not hit a lot. They've got issues in the bullpen to some degree. As Mike Ferentz says, maybe they're a little better, but still, the Giants beat them 17 times last year. And this is the time for the Giants to do it. So my challenge is out there. You got six with Arizona, you got four with San Diego, then the Brewers before the break, and they've got to play good ball here. So that's my rant on July 4th, okay?
Well, I think it's warranted, and I think a lot of the fans are right there with you. I think it's reasonable, and you know, it's not hysterical. No. I think it's quite logical.
All right. Well, you know, we've watched a lot of baseball, and again, it's the manager and the staff. They've got to get up here and do it. So, all right, that's what I had to say. It is July 4th, and yesterday I said let's look at some of the races. It is one of the markers of a baseball season. You want to take a look at the National League a little bit and see where you think it's going to end up here?
Yeah, well, I think in the West, the Dodgers are starting to get a lot of things together. You know, Freeman's holding up his end, which suddenly is kind of an urgent matter of urgency for him because he looked like kind of a wimp with that whole Atlanta issue. But he's hitting the ball. Justin Turner and Muncy are starting to hit. Will Smith is tremendous. Gonsolin has been great. Kershaw went 7 scoreless yesterday. Trey Turner is fantastic. Mookie Betts is back. They got to fix the bullpen. It looks like Kimbrel's been bad for a couple weeks, but I would say they win it. The Padres, they were 1-14 against the Dodgers before yesterday, which seems a little surprising. But so that's a big win for them, especially because it was the last game of the series.
Yeah.
They need to get Tatis back to see where they're at. You know, I and it's interesting that there's some talk about maybe moving him to center field. Getting Grisham out of there and have Kim play short, which I think in Tatis's case would be good because he's such an aggressive player, including the field. He's diving here and there, and he's borderline reckless, which is pretty good. It's not a problem if you're making the plays and staying healthy, but he hasn't been able to do that. And I think he'd be a very good center fielder. And, you know, we know about Machado and Hosmer and Cronenworth and Profar. Will Myers is coming back. They're going to finish ahead of the Giants without any question. The Giants, I think, would be third, and then nobody's going to come from below the Giants. So that's how I see that going. In the East, I think the Mets, it all depends on DeGrom and Scherzer. If those two guys come back and they're both on the verge, they should win that division with all the hitting they're getting from Alfonso and McNeil and Lindor, you know, Captain Nemo.
20,000 leagues under the sea with Captain Nemo.
And
okay.
And Bassett and Carrasco have been good in the rotation. And they just have a really good – talk about having energy about them. It's really a good team.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point, the way they play.
Yeah.
That's a good point of how they do play. Bruce, DeGrom had a good game last night. I think I saw one of the headlines. He touched 100.
Oh my goodness! Well, yeah. If he and Scherzer are back, they have no excuse not to win it. Diaz is a great closer. They've got everything it takes. I like Buck in charge, and that's pretty cool. And otherwise, they get caught by Atlanta. They're just, you know, we know how well they hit with Acuna and Olsen, and geez, Austin Riley's got 20 homers. Ozuna hit a couple. Duvall, Dansby Swanson. I mean, when Albies comes back, and they got. You know, Kenley Jansen out in the bullpen, and now they got this kid, Spencer Strider.
Hey, that's our guy. Come on, we talked about him a month ago, remember? Strider?
The last outing, just the other day, 11 Ks, one hit against the Reds. Yeah, one hit. So if he gets in there with Fried and Charlie Morton and Kyle Wright and those guys, I really like the Braves, too. I like both of those teams, and again, it's up to Scherzer and DeGrom to bring it home, otherwise Atlanta's going to catch him. Really like watching the Phillies. They're 7.5 back. They got to get Bryce Harper back, and it's going to be a while. As much as I like Hoskins and Schwarber, and they need Segura back, too, for that matter. Castellanos hasn't been that great, but not a bad rotation. Zach Wheeler was great yesterday, and Nola's been good. Not a great bullpen. They just seem to be a little bit short. I mean, they lost all those games under Joe Girardi. That wasn't all his fault. They've got some flaws, but fun team to watch, but that's how I like that one. I definitely like St. Louis to catch Milwaukee.
Yeah,
in the Central. I mean, he just run down everybody the Cardinals put out there. I like for all the different reasons, whether it's Yadier's, you know, Molina's leadership or Harrison Bader playing like a madman in center field. You know, Tommy Edman, Wainwright, the great anchor of the rotation, and it's Goldschmidt and Arenado. Forget about it. These guys are just absolutely going off. And you know, after the game, there's Lars Newt bars for everyone.
He's a good pinch hitter. Newt Bar.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, good analysis. And, you know, it's funny listening to you. We talked about players that play hard with enthusiasm and with some speed. And that's something the Giants have to be concerned about is speed. going first to third and playing like a Harrison Bader once in a while.
Exactly.
Maybe they're too much under control. All right, beautiful. Yeah. Very good. Good analysis. All right, one quick historical note. I love it. July 4th, George Steinbrenner's birthday, and our good friend Dave Righetti throws a no-hitter against the Red Sox, and his last out is Wade Boggs.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he was such a great starting pitcher, Marty. And you know, by the next year, he was a reliever. The very next year after this no-hitter, he was a relief pitcher, and he was a very good one. But I always remember he had a big start in the 1981 World Series. He's starting in Dodger Stadium. The Yankees win the first two games of that series. Now, he can make it 3-0, but he didn't have a good start. Ron Say hit a three-run homer. It was a bummer of a loss for him. That probably planted a seed in the organization. They weren't sure what kind of faith they had in him. He didn't make the All-Star team in 83, the year he pitched the no-hitter, and he always seemed to be a little bit agitated about everything that was going on. Next thing you know, he's a relief pitcher, but coming down, the fact that it was the Red Sox on the 4th of July is just perfect. You know, it was like 94 degrees, a day game, and it comes down to Boggs, the best hitter in the game, and Righetti, I remember you saying, This is perfect. This is the best hitter in the league, the toughest guy to strike out, and he strikes him out. I mean, he couldn't strike out Boggs at 20 at bats, you know. And it was his 132nd pitch, which I love. But the Red Sox hadn't been no hit in a while. Went back to Tom Phoebus in '68.
Member of the Orioles.
Yeah, and the first at Yankee Stadium since Don Larson, for heaven's sakes, in '56, a perfect game in the World Series. So that was just momentous. What a great day to have been at Yankee Stadium to watch Rags out there.
I love Dave Righetti. Just love him. I miss him. I miss talking ball with him. He's a very special guy. Very special. Wow. All right. Good July 4th discussion. I hope you have a good day. And we always acknowledge July 5th, which is tomorrow, and that is the day Larry Doby was the first African-American to play in the American League, and just a few months after Jackie. So I always like to say July 5th, Larry Doby, that's your day.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, he was the second guy, but he was up against all the things that Jackie faced in the American League. You know, a lot of skepticism, a lot of outright jerks or racists and all this. And just like Jackie, he stood up to it in a huge way. And like Jackie, he was on a very good team that was battling the Yankees all the way. A real class act out of New Jersey, Larry Doby.
Yeah, we'll have a Raps got a little bit of sound that we have play every year. Just some of thoughts from Larry Doby. All right, Bruce, have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you next week, and we've challenged the ball club. Let's see what happens.
Okay, I hope they heard you.
All right, thanks. Have a good day. Thanks, Bruce.
See ya.
All right, more coming up. KMBR 680 104.5, the Sports Leader.